Northampton Kollel, shiur given by Gershon Heppner on Sunday, 6th of November 2011, Tes Cheshvan, Toshin Ayin Beis. I'd like to say the shiur as a ilui aliyah for the neshama of my late father-in-law, Rabbi Yaakov Chaim ben Rabbi Nachum Halevi. Today's the 21st Yahrzeit, a very sweet man who was plagued with ill health for many, many years, and he was very much to do lots of learning in small pockets of time, and should be an aliyah for the neshama. Pardon?
The same last year.
Did I? Yes. Yeah, it's true. That's how he was. I remember.
A long time, was it?
He was ill for many years. Yeah, he had a heart condition. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So today's the 21st Yahrzeit. Tes Cheshvan. Okay, so we're up to Tilim Yud Ches, and we're on Pasuk Yud Dalad. Vayarim Bashamayim Hashem. We're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing Rishoyim. Vayarim Bashamayim Hashem. Hashem thundered in the heavens. Ve'elyon Yitein Kolo, and the one on high, of course that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitein Kolo, gives forth his voice. Barod, hailstones, v'gachalei esh, and burning coals. So, what's the Pasuk saying? The Pasuk is saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Rishoyim. We continue with further punishments of the Rishoyim. And there are many different interpretations as to which incident in history we're talking about here when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished Rishoyim with Barad and Gachalei Esh. But the primary pshat is that he is talking about Mitzrayim, punishment of Mitzrayim. Barad, we're talking about the Makkah of Barad. Not just the Makkah of Barad in Mitzrayim itself, but also the Makkah of Barad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent extra hailstones at the time when the Egyptians were chasing Klal Yisrael to get to the Yamsuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rained Barad down on them, and it's also a reference to that. But we'll see among the Mefarshim that it actually refers to a number of different occasions. Okay.
And the coals of fire, what would that be? Also the hailstones.
Oh, we'll come to that. Well, how that comes into the hailstones as well.
In addition to the 10 plagues hailstones.
Yes, it is. Nice. Yeah. Well, you can, and it's both. The Barad in Mitzrayim actually did contain Aish.
Yes.
There was fire on the inside.
You put it fire.
Now you remember from Seder night,
yeah.
Ice bombs.
I see.
Ice bombs. Yeah.
Ice and the fire.
Ice with fire on the inside.
The miracle was that the two,
the two combined. That's right. Yeah, they didn't. The fire didn't boil away the water of the ice, and the ice didn't extinguish the fire.
Oh, and that was a miracle.
Ostu Shalom. Yeah, Nes Besuch Nes. Rashi in Parshas Vo'era calls it a Nes Besuch Nes, a miracle within a miracle.
What, fire in the ice?
Fire within the ice. Yeah. So the ice bombs, the Barad did damage, and then the fire did further damage. Yeah. Okay. So, let's come back to it. So, Vayarim. Now, there's no Rashi at all on this pasuk. Vayarim Bashamayim Hashem. Hashem thundered in heavens. And, of course, the root of the word Vayarim, the Ibn Ezra points out, is Resh Ayin Mem. Resh Ayin Mem, which is to Ra'am. Ra'omim is thunder. Vayarim Bashamayim Hashem. Hashem thundered in heavens. The Elyon Yitein Kolo and the one on high, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitein Kolo gave his voice. Made some kind of sound, Barad v'gachalei esh, with hailstones and burning coals. Good. The Ibn Ezra also points out that, of course, what we have here is one second. Yeah, what we're doing is we're emphasizing Barad and gachalei esh were mentioned in the last pasuk. They're also mentioned in pasuk Yud Gimel. You okay with this, Louis? That you get Barad and Gachalei Esh are also mentioned at the end of Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yeah, Minog Anegdo Ovru Barad for Gachalei Esh. Barad and fire and burning coals pass through from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bright area. And here we have it again. So the Ibn Ezra points out that this is extra emphasis. Why is it repeated in Pasuk Yud Dalet? It's for extra emphasis. Because the Barad combined with Gachalei Esh, the fire combining with ice, was a tremendous miracle, Nes besoch nes, a miracle within a miracle, as Rashi in Va'ira puts it. Therefore, it is emphasized by repetition. That's why it appears again in Pasuk Yudalis. Now, not all of that is in the Ibn Ezra. The way I've said this over is the way the art scroll on Tehillim explains the Ibn Ezra. Namely, it's repeated. That the Lashon of the Ibn Ezra is l'hischabrom rega echod, to join them together for one moment. The ice with the fire joining forces together. And the way the art scroll explains it is that that is why it's repeated. It's repeated for extra emphasis because it's such a remarkable mace.
It's in Mitzrayim.
Yeah, absolutely. Such an amazing mace, and therefore it's repeated. That, the words Barat v'Gachleish appear both in Yud Gimel and also in Yud Dalet.
While they were drowning Egyptians, hail was coming down.
That I haven't seen. Yeah. What I did see is that while the Egyptians were riding to Bnei Yisrael to chase after them, that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to thwart their attack by raining hailstones down on them before the Yom Tov. He did.
Because the age could be the lightning, the bolts of lightning, and it's a combination of the two. I know we learn one is within the other, but it's a question of interpretation.
I did see that somewhere as well, that the Aish is a reference to lightning. So you've got thunder with the lightning and Borod all combined. Good. Okay. The Radak points out on our Pasuk that what we have is a double whammy punishment. It's the Elyon Yisein Kolo. No, going from the beginning of the Pasuk. First you have Vayari Bashamayim Hashem. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu thunders. And that's the punishment of sound, because the sound itself is terrifying. Then you have the Elyon Yisein Kolo, again Hashem sends forth his voice, which is of course a parallelism. Vayarim Bashamayim Hashem is parallel to the Elyon Yisein Kolo, because they both come to much the same thing, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes terrifying noises. That's the punishment of sound, but that's not enough. Says the Razak is followed up by action. Borad V'Gachaliyesh. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing the Rishoyim in two ways. First with horrendous, terrifying sounds, and then the actual Maisa of Borad and Gachaliyesh coming down. So I've written down in my notes here, sound and action. It's both HaKadosh Baruch Hu attacking on two fronts. Yeah? Good. The Tosfos Rid on this Pasuk, that's Rabbi Shai from Turin, he just adds in one small thing. He says, what's this Borad and Gachaliyesh? He says, Yotzim Mipiv, coming out from his mouth. Excuse me, what exactly does that mean? Yotzim Mipiv, when it's meant to be a figure of speech, like it's as though the Borod and the Gacholim, the burning coals, are coming out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, I don't think that's the literal pshat. I think what it really means is a pshat brought by Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach. In his Perush on Tehillim, Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach explains that what it is, the Vayarim Bashamayim Hashem, and then the Elyon Yitein Kolo, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving a command for Borod and Gachaliyesh. You see, the learning like the Radak, Vayarim Bashamayim Hashem, the Elyon Yitein Kolo, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu making terrifying noises. Just making terrifying sounds. But the Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach and the Tosfos Rid, they have a slightly different shot. And they say, no, what's this idea of the sound, Vayareim and the Elyon Yitein Kolo? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving a command. And what's the command? The command is for Borod and Gachaliyesh.
The word of his mouth.
It all means it's all the lashon of a command. Yeah, the lashon of Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving a command to quickly send the gecholim and the borod and the gachaliyesh. That's how Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach puts it, and the Tosfos Rid puts it as yotzim mipiv. It comes out from his mouth, i.e., it all stems from a command given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what exactly are we referring to? So we've really said the main shot in the Pasuk. The main shot in the Pasuk refers to the Mitzrayim, just before the Yom Suf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending the Borod and the Gachaliyesh at that time. Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach has got a different shot. Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach refers us to Melachim Beis, Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud. The story there is that It was just that Ahaziah, who is the son of Achav, became very ill, and he was confined to bed, and he sent out his shlichim to go and consult an avodah zarah to see whether he would survive the illness or not, and his shlichim went out to consult this avodah zarah, whereupon HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed this to Eliyahu, Anovi, saying, you, Eliyahu Anovi, go and get a message to Ahaziah, ask him what on earth he thinks he's playing at, that he's consulting an Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
And go and tell him...
He's the king of Israel.
Yeah, but he was the Rasha, and he was the son of a Rasha.
Yeah.
Achav, his father, was horrendous, and Ahaziah also doesn't come out too well from this. So Eliyahu Novi receives a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is along the lines of ask him what business has he got to consult an Avodah Zarah, and tell him he's got bad news and worse news. The bad news is he's ill, and the worst news is he's not going to recover, he's going to die from this illness. Then Ahaziah sent two groups of his army officers to go and arrest Eliyahu for this bad nevuah. Eliyahu was not a popular man, and he sent a group of 50 soldiers led by their commander. Eliyahu Anovi lived at the top of the hill, and the commander climbed up the hill and to go and confront Eliyahu, saying, what do you think you're playing at? You're giving the king, you're giving him such bad news, or what right do you have to speak like that? Whereupon Eliyahu Anovi said, Teired eish min ha-shamayim v'sochal oscha v'eschamishecha. This is a pasuk. It's in Melachim Beis. Right in the beginning, Melachim Beis.
So Eliyahu was going to tell Ahaziah,
why
are you going to Avodah Zarah?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, let me just have a look at this. You're going to die from this illness, yeah.
And that's the good news.
I guess so. Here we go, from Melachim Beis Perek Aleph Pasuk Dalet, to Lachim Koma Hashem, this is Eliyahu Anovi talking, so says Hashem, Hamitza Asher Alis Hashem, the bed that you're now confined to, Lo Seyred Memeno, you won't get down from it, Ki Mos Tomos, you'll surely die. Vayelech Eliyahu, and that was the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Eliyahu went off to give that message. And he gave that message to the messengers of Ahaziah. Whereupon Ahaziah sent 50 men, led by their commander, to go and confront Eliyahu. What right do you have to speak like that to the king? And when that happened, so Eliyahu Anovi responded, Vaya'ane, this is now Pasuk Yud, Vaya'ane Eliyahu, Vaya'daber, El Sar HaChamishim, he said to the commander of the 50, Vim Ish HaLekimoni, if I am a man of God, you refer to me as a man of God. If I am a man of God, then, Teired Eish Min HaShemayim, fire should come down from heaven, v'sochal osecha, and should consume you, v'eschamishecha, together with your 50 men. And that's exactly what happened. V'ateir deish v'na shemayim, v'atochal osecha v'eschamishecha. Taka fire came down and killed this one commander, together with the 50 soldiers, the 50 men. Whereupon Ahaziah sent a second batch of men, also 50 men, also with a commander. And the same story. Eliyahu Anovi again says, you call me, if I'm a man of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should punish you by sending down fire. And again, fire came down and killed the whole bang lot of them. 50 men plus their commander. Whereupon Ahaziah sent a third group of men. And in the third group, now the commander had a bit more seichel. And the commander went to Eliyahu and spoke to him in a much more reasonable manner. Thank you. Yeah, much more reasonable manner. He said, I think I've got that right. He spoke to him in a more reasonable manner, and again, Eliyahu warned him, no, this Achaz is going to die, and of course, at the end of that chapter, at the end of this chapter, Aleph Achaz then does die. Now, Rabbi Avraham ben Ramoch points out that our pasuk, which speaks about Borod and Gachaleish, it's a reference to that incident. How Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Rishoyim, and he punished Achaziah in this manner, by sending down the Gecholim and the Borod and the Gachaleish. It's a reference to that. Yeah. Good. Achaziah died, by the way, leaving no children, and the next king was his brother, Yehoram, who took over. That was Yehoram. Good. Okay. In the Masad Rav Kook on Tehillim, he points out the what is fairly obvious, really, namely that the pasuk begins with a parallelism. Vayarim b'shamayim Hashem, Hashem thundered in heavens, followed by the Elyon Yitein Kolo, the one on high gives forth his voice, which of course is those two phrases are parallel. Yeah, those two phrases are parallel. Oh. And then he also points out, in the Masad Rav Kook also points out, that although we've got this repeated phrase from the pasuk Yud Gimel, Borod v'gach le'yesh, which is in Yud Gimel, and again in Yud Dalet, he says there's a very stark difference between them. The one in Yud Gimel, Ovru, Minoga Negdo, of Ovru Borod v'gach le'yesh, he says, that is not a pasuk so much of punishment. It's more a pasuk of covered. Glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that from his very bright area, Minoga Negdo, from the very bright area which HaKadosh Baruch Hu occupies, from there, Borod and Gach Eliyesh come forth. That's more as a cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than a punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas our pasuk, Yud Dalet, now it's punishment. Vayarim b'shamayim Hashem, v'elyon yitein kolo, Borod and Gach Eliyesh is punishment against the Rishoyim. So pasuk Yud Gimel is the Borod and Gach Eliyesh form a mark of covered for Hashem, whereas in our pasuk, it's a punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the enemies. Yeah. Good. Okay.
The first pasuk is like covered for Hashem.
Yeah, because it's this Borod and Gach Eliyesh which emanate, come forth from a very bright area. Minuga Negdo, from this very bright area occupied by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's in Yud Gimel. So that pasuk is devoted to spelling out the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas Yud Dalet is spelling out the punishments HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out. Very, very interesting Medrash in the Medrash Tanchuma, right at the beginning of Parshas Tzav. Now, at the beginning of Parshas Tzav, let's get the Posset first of all. In Parshas Tzav, here we are. Parshas Tzav begins. Right at the beginning of the Sefer, Vaidam Hashem Moshe Lemer, Tzavis Aaron Vesbonov, command Aaron and his children Lemer, Zos Terasa Ola, the Dinim of a Korban Ola. Now, what's the story of the Korban Ola? It gets burnt on the Mizbeach, yes. Almost entirely.
Yes.
Yeah, or maybe even it is entirely burnt on the Mizbeach. He, and the Apostle says, He ha Ola, that is the Ola, what we call a burnt offering, al Mukta, on its burning place, or on its, good translation, on the place of incineration, al HaMizbeach, on the Mizbeach, kol halayla, all night long, out of Boke until morning. Mm. Because the idea is that the Mizbeach burnt Karbonus through the night.
Yeah.
Now the Medrash Tanchuma latches onto this phrase, He Ha'ula, followed by Al Mukta. Says the Medrash Tanchuma on that pasuk, right at the beginning of Parshas Tzav, anyone who becomes a big head, someone who becomes, I'll read you the Lashon, Kol Misha Hu Ma'ale Es Atzmo, anyone who elevates himself, because he considers himself a big head, Sofo Leilech Ba'esh, will eventually go into fire. What does it mean? It means anyone who's misguided, anybody who, arrogant, thank you, anyone who's arrogant, will eventually be consumed in fire.
Sounds like a henna.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, all summer will be burnt in fire. And it's learnt from He Ha Ola, because Ola really means to go up. Ola, yeah, it goes up. He Ha Ola. Anyone who goes up, in other words, anyone who brings himself up, who shows arrogance, Sofo Leilech Ba'esh, is going to go Al Mukta, on the place of incineration. He'll be burnt. And brings a whole list of people. Zer HaMabul, Anshei Sodom, that's this Greek Seder, yeah? Parshas Vayera coming up. Anshei Sodom, people of Sodom, they're very arrogant. and Paro and Sancheirev. Now, latching on to Paro, the Medrash there brings proofs for each of them. And for Paro, it brings from Paro as well that brings our Pasuk. How do we know that Paro was arrogant and then eventually was burnt? And the Medrash Rabbah quotes our Pasuk. Actually, quotes both Pesukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet combined. Menoga Negdo Ovov Ovru Borad Vegachale Yesh Vayarim Bashem Hashem VeElyon Yisenkolo Borad Vegachale Yesh. The Paro, of course, said Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Vekolo. Who is this God of yours? Never heard of him. Not interested in him. And he was a tremendously arrogant man, and he was punished by being burnt by the Borad. The ice bombs, yeah? So it's Borod Vegachle Yesh. And that Medrash quotes our Pasuk. No, Paro now. Paro. The Medrash learns it talking about Paro. Yeah. This Medrash, Tanchuma, learns it about Paro. Because Paro was arrogant, therefore he got burnt. Literally got burnt. Burnt by the Borod, which contained fire. And it's learned from...
He did survive.
Yeah. He survived up until the answer. He survived the answer.
It's obviously he survived because he went to the Yom Suf.
Yeah.
So it's the host.
And I'm saying after the Yom Suf he survived.
Well, we mentioned the Machlokes. Louis showed this measure. Yeah. The mission about Hillel. Afu ra'o gogoles achasofa ba'moyim. That Hillel saw a skull floating on the water, and Louis said that is a reference to the skull of Paro.
Yeah. From the Balatanya.
In Balatani, must be quoting a message.
Hillel mentions that he saw Jesus from Pirkei Avos.
Yeah, in Pirkei Avos. Mm-hmm. They must be, the Balatani wouldn't, the Balatani can't make that up. He must be quoting a medrash somewhere. That was the skull of Paro. There is a machlokus whether Paro survived the Yom Suf or not. Yeah. But the fact is he got burnt.
Got burnt
by the Borod. And why? Because he was a haughty, arrogant man. Yes. And that's the Lashon
Kol. Burnt when he was pursuing the Bnei Yisrael.
Presumably.
It's not him personally, it's his army.
He may have been burnt as well personally.
He also might have got burnt.
You can't say. He might have done. Anybody who raises himself up in arrogance, so for Lelech Ba'esh will eventually go into fire. Yeah. And that's from He Ha Ola Al Mokta. That Ola, someone who goes up, who raises himself up, will go Al Mokta onto the place of incineration. Yeah. Good. Now, the Al Sheikh learns. Let's get this. Oh, yes. The Al Sheikh learns that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Borod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated His Shekhinah is on earth as well.
Yeah.
His divine presence on earth as well. And he quotes the verse Pesukim. Let's get the Pesukim here. Pesukim in Parashas Va'era. Here we are, Va'era. So it's chapter Tess, and it's a few Pesukim from chapter Tess in Va'era. So we start with Pasuk Kaf Beis, where the Pasuk says, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Neteis Yadcha L'Hashemayim, stretch your hand out over the heavens, Vihi Vorod v'choleres Mitzrayim, and they'll be borrowed in the whole land of Egypt. Now there's no mention of fire in that Pasuk. It just says borrowed. Hailstones. Then the Pasuk says the next one, Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Vayet Moshe Tmateo l'Hashemayim, Moshe stretched out his stick over the Shemayim, over the heavens, V'Hashem Nosam Kolos, Hashem sent sounds, which were terrifying, Uvorod, and hailstones, Vati Halach Eish Orza, and fire travelled down to the ground. So now we suddenly have an introduction of fire. The first pasuk says, Hashem said, there's going to be Borod, there's going to be hailstones. Suddenly we have hailstones, but they're accompanied by fire. Pardon? First you have sound, Vayemish Esmateu on Hashemayim, Vashem Nosan Kolos, he sent sounds, Uvorod, and hailstones, and then Vati Alach Ish Orza, and there's fire as well coming down.
From our interpretation, is that lightning always precedes sound, thunder.
Lightning. You see the lightning. You see the lightning first. Because it's speed of light is faster. Yeah, interesting.
You could argue that this was like a miracle happening. Showing reverse the natural order.
Yeah, but these kolos were not necessarily the sound of thunder. It was some terrifying sound. I remember my brother Cheskel telling me that the sounds of Barod were in many ways harsher than the plague itself. A sound can be terrifying. Well, I can give ages to that myself. I remember I was once in a school, in Pardis House School, when the...
Do you think it's so loud? Is that
what? Absolutely, the burglar alarm went off. Yeah, I was in school, I was by myself, I think I must have triggered it, I'm not sure. The burglar alarm went off, and the sound was terrifying. And I couldn't think, it reverberates, it must be specially designed to do this, it reverberates round and round and round. And I couldn't even think my way out of the problem, I had to stop the alarm. And the sound was so all-penetrating, I couldn't think.
It was very loud.
Loud is not the word. Right. A, it was very loud.
Yeah.
Very, very exceptionally loud. And B, it somehow was moving. The sound. Right. I don't know how they did it, but the sound was moving. It can be absolutely terrifying. You find the same...
Moving through the air, isn't it? The sound.
I don't know how they... Yeah, but...
waves going...
But the sound can be more terrifying than the sound was more terrifying than the borot, apparently. So look how the Al-Sheikh explains this. The Al-Sheikh says, first, the plague was introduced as going to be borot. Vihi borot, they will be borot. But then it says that Hashem provided a sound, Hashem nosan kolos, and then he says he provided borot, and only then it says Vati alach esh oretzo. And then the next pasuk Kaf Dalet says Vayhi Vorod, there was hailstones Ve'esh Mislakachas B'Sochah Borod, with fire contained within the Borod. So it seems that the initial idea was that it was going to be Borod alone. Then Hakadosh Baruch Hu supplied sound, and the Esh was the resultant of that sound, and it accompanied the Borod. Yeah, Hashem said there's going to be borot, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided some terrifying sounds, and then Esh accompanied the borot. Says the Al-Sheikh, you have exactly the same, that's echoed in our Pasuk. In our Pasuk we have, Vayarim Bashamayim Hashem, Hashem thundered in heaven, the Elyon Yitzen Kolo, and the one on high provided his voice, or gave sounds, whereupon there was borot, V'gachalayesh, the Gachalayesh, those burning coals were as a result of the kolos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as echoed from the Pesukim in Vo'era. The initial announcement of the Makkah was going to be borrowed by itself, and then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplied sounds, then there was a fire, an accompanying fire as well. That's how the Al-Sheikh learns it. Yeah.
So after the sounds came the borrowed.
Came the Esh with the Borod. There was going to be Borod, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided sounds to accompany the Borod, the sound seems to have been the catalyst to create the fire within the Borod. And that's how it says in our Pasuk. As a result of Vayarim Bashamam Hashem Elyon Yitzen Kolo, as a result of those sounds, therefore it was Borod V'gach Aleyesh. The Esh came out as a result of the sounds. Just
so the Esh was like surrounding the hail.
The Esh was inside.
Inside the hail.
Contained within the hail. Yeah. Ice bombs. Yeah. Ice on the outside, Esh on the inside, and as Rashi puts it there in Vayera,
when the Borod struck a human being, the Esh struck him first.
No, I would have thought the ice struck him first. Okay, the ice would strike first. The ice, because that was outermost.
That's the exterior. Yeah,
that's it. The exterior was the ice, so that would have hit first. And that would have then exploded. The ice would have exploded, leaving the Esh to continue doing damage.
A person.
Yeah. We can't really imagine it.
No.
Yeah. Now the Al-Sheikh goes on to say, actually this is the Al-Sheikh on our next pasuk, which we're not doing today. On the next pasuk, the Al-Sheikh points out that what are we talking about here with this Borod and Gachalayesh? We're talking about a particular incident in our history. Which incident? The destruction of Sodom and Amorah. It's really nice that we're learning that today, because that's this week's Sedra, Vayera. The destruction of Sodom and Amorah. Why is David HaMelech making mention of the destruction of Sodom and Amorah? Because there were only a handful of survivors from that. Lot, his wife and his two daughters. Yes. And then his wife died as well, changed into a pillar of salt. Lot and his two daughters survived. Of those two daughters, when Lot cohabited with the daughters, one of the daughters gave birth to a son whom he called Moav. Which is May of, exactly, from the father. Yeah,
so she had no shame.
No, yeah, it was just really amazing. Amazing, yeah.
Shame, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, from Moav came Rus. From Rus came David. So David is giving a special thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rescuing Lot and the daughters from Sodom, because he's a descendant of Lot and those daughters, and one of those two daughters. And they survived the destruction of Sodom and Amorah, whereupon David has to give a thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving Lot and the two daughters. And he does so with our pasuk. How Sodom and Amorah were destroyed with all these also a similar sort of form of destruction. Borod and Gachalish falling on Sodom and destroying Sodom. My ancestor Lot and his two daughters, they survived that. For that I give a thank you. Yeah, that's actually the Alshich on the next pasuk. The Arskol quotes it on this pasuk, and I looked up in the Alshich and saw it, but it's actually on next week's pasuk, or the next pasuk, I should say. Yeah, good. Let's come on to. Let me just check. One second. I think we're done. Yeah. Let's come on to the comparison with the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis.
Where does he thank Hashem for rescuing Lot and the two daughters?
This whole pasuk is making is a mention of the destruction using Borod and Gachaliesh. Says the Al-Sheikh, destruction of what? Destruction of Sodom. And therefore I'm giving it thanks that my ancestors survived that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how they got out.
Yeah, that's how they got out.
These Moav had brothers and sisters?
I don't know. I think only the birth of this one son Moav is recorded. Whether there were other...
But then, there's only one son is sometimes recorded. And you know that when Cain was born and Chabah, the sisters were born with them.
Yeah.
And just say, Lot's other daughter also slept with the father.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So there could be more children.
Ben-Ami.
There could be a Ben-Ami.
Ben-Ami. Yeah, Ami and Moav.
There must be a daughter, because for these... tribes of Moab and Ammon to have come about. There must be some intermarriage with...
Oh, yes. I don't think that's such a problem, though, because as those children would have grown up, they would have realized that the end of the world had not taken place as they thought it had. Right? They thought it's the end of the world. We're the only survivors of the whole universe.
Intermarried with the Canaanite.
With someone, I don't know with whom, could be.
The Canaanite were in the land at the time.
Yeah.
They thought they were only survivors.
Yeah, they thought they were only survivors, and that's
they fled out of the town.
Yeah, yeah.
To the mountain. And then, of course, the Canaanite were in the country. Yeah. The Canaanite weren't. Only Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain that were overturned.
Yeah.
So these daughters thought they were doing a mitzvah, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
To populate the world. There's nobody left. Let's go with Father.
Yeah.
Special circumstances, they seem to be saying.
But the Torah frowns on it.
Yeah. They knew that Abram was in the mountain on the other side. So they knew it wasn't the end of civilization. They just realized that they couldn't survive with, Lot couldn't survive with Abram because of Abram's greatness. He was a nothing. And the daughters thought that as well. And they thought that they perpetuate their own type with the
local inhabitants.
And the Canaanite were there, and the Hittite, and all that, they're all there.
Yeah.
So they
either way, they shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Incest.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, they shouldn't have done it. Wouldn't have emerged if they didn't do it.
The fact that David came from this murky background through Moav, and Rus herself coming from such a murky background, and yet...
The question that Tanya brings up over and again about the beginning being wedged in the end, the lowest of the low, you find is the highest of Kedusha.
Fascinating. From the lowest of the low.
That's
where we find David HaMelech came from, this union.
It's a circular movement that learns it.
Yeah.
The beginning is wedged in the end. So you start all the way, you start the beginning at the end.
Good. Let's compare this pasuk with the one in Shmuel Beis. You've got a bookmark there for Shmuel Beis. Yeah? So you need to get, you know, to compare them. You have to be in there. So Shmuel Beis, and it's going to be pasuk Yud Dalet. Let me get my copy. Here we are. That's the one. Right, so if we compare our pasuk with the one in Shmuel Beis, there are quite a few differences between the two sets of pasukim. Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, pasuk Yud Dalet. Yarim min shamayim Hashem. Hashem thunders from the heavens. The Elyon Yisein Kolo, and the one on high gives his voice, or sends forth his voice. So lots of differences. First of all, in our pasuk in Tehillim, it says Vayarim. With a vav at the beginning, Vayarim, making in the past tense, Vayarim, while in Shmuel Beis it's got it as just Yarim. Mm. Okay? You with me so far?
Yeah. I just Yarim, and it's Vayarim.
Yeah. Do you know what, Louis, do you want to copy... Here. Do you want to see both copies, both looking simultaneously, Louis?
Yeah.
So tell you what, so you take this. There you are. So you can compare, it's possibly Yud Dalet here. Where is that? Here, down here, I think. Yeah. You've got Yud Dalet there somewhere.
That's funny. It's Yud Dalet here.
Yeah, it's the same passing number, Yeah? So in our Pasuk, you've got Vayarim. Pasuk in Tehillim's got Vayarim, while the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis has just got the word Yarim. Okay? Likewise, in our Pasuk in Tehillim, it's got Bashamayim, whereas there, it's got Minshamayim. Okay?
Yeah.
Our pasuk's got the word kolo, kuf lamed vav, while in Shmuel Beis it's kolo, kuf vav lamed vav.
Yeah?
So far so good, Louis? And our pasuk finishes with borrowed v'gach aleyesh, while the pasuk in Shmuel Beis hasn't got that phrase at all. Okay?
The pasuk before ends with that. No,
yeah, that's Pasuk Yud Gimel. That's Pasuk Yud Gimel. But in our Pasuk, in Tehillim, Pasuk Yud Dalet, it's got borrowed of Gach Liesh, while in Shmuel Beis, it hasn't got that ending at all. Okay? So far so good?
Yeah.
Okay. Interestingly enough, the Targum does translate both of them as Min Shemaya. The Targum on Tehillim and the Targum on Shmuel Beis have got the phrase Min Shemaya, while for from heavens, and of course the one in Tehillim's got Bashamayim, while the one in Shmuel Beis has got Min Shamayim. But the Targum doesn't make a difference between them. The Targum gives them both as being Min Shamaya. But another slight difference from the Targum is that the Targum on Tehillim has got the word Achlei. Sorry, in Tehillim it's got V'Achlei, like the word Vayarim, and in Shmuel Beis the Targum on Shmuel Beis has got just Achlei. To parallel Yarim. Okay. Now, so a number of differences there. How do these differences work? So the Abarbanel explains that the Abarbanel throughout this chapter in Shmuel Beis explains how the Psukim in Tehillim are, and this is very strange to understand, they're an improvement on the Psukim in Shmuel Beis. That's how the Abarbanel learns throughout the whole chapter. And he says as follows, that, and I don't think he tackles all the changes, but it's just some of them. He says, first of all, in Shmuel Beis, it's got Min Shamayim, that Yari Min Shamayim Hashem sends the thunderous sound from heaven, and the one in Tehillim defines it better, saying, no, the thunder is in the heaven. And he says it's a scientific fact. The Abarbanel says scientific fact, that thunder takes place within the heaven. Yeah? That's one thing. He also says that the one in Tehillim adds on the last phrase, borrowed v'gach aleyesh. Why? Because Rishoyim, if they're being punished by Hashem, and he sends these horrendous sounds, the sound won't kill them. The sound doesn't kill the Rishoyim. What does kill them is the borrowed v'gach aleyesh. So the pasuk in Tehillim extends it by saying, "This is what the Rishoyim will die for the borrowed v'gach aleyesh." Yeah, not from Vayarim not from the Ra'am and Vashem Yitinko or the Elyon Yitinkolo. Yeah, it's from the actual the Vorot and Gachliesh. That's what's going to kill the Rishayim. That's how the Arbav Benel learns it. Yeah. Now, the Pirush in Shmuel, of the Mahari Kra, one of the Rishonim in Shmuel, he learns another whole new pshat as to what are we actually talking about? What's the story in the pasuk? What are we referring to when we say that Vayareim Hakadosh Baruch Hu thunders min shamayim? Well, let's go back to the pasuk actually in Tehillim. We'll take the pshat of the Mahari Kra from Shmuel Beis, but it actually refers equally to Shmuel Beis and also to the pasuk in Tehillim. So let's go back to the Tehillim pasuk. No, take that one back. Yeah, if you go back to the Tehillim chapter, have you got that? I'll find it for you. Actually, you know what? Okay, so the Mahari Kra in Shmuel Beis explains the pasuk in a whole new light. He says, what are we referring to with this Borat and Gachliesh? What's the incident in Tanakh that we're referring to? So the Mahari Kra explains, we're talking about an incident that's recorded, it's in Shmuel Aleph, it's in chapter 9 in Shmuel Aleph. And the pasuk there speaks about how Shmuel Hanavi brought everyone to a state of Teshuvah. Well, one second, where is it? Shmuel Aleph, chapter Zion. Oh, yeah, sorry, wrong sefer, hang on. Here. Yeah. Shmuel Aleph, chapter Zion, Pasuk Yud. Now, the Pasuk there speaks about how Shmuel Anovi brought everyone together to Mitzpah, and he encouraged everyone to do teshuvah and to give up Avodah Zarah, and he was very successful in that. They gave up their Avodah Zarah and they all gathered together in Mitzpah, and Shmuel Anovi said to Klal Yisrael, I'll be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get rid of the enemy. The enemy at that time was the Plishtim. Yeah. And I'll daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what did he do? He says he brought a korban. Vahi Shmuel ma'ale ha'ola. Shmuel Anovi was just bringing the korban ola. And what happened? Ufelishtim nigshulam ulchama b'Yisrael. The Pelishtim thought, aha, Klal Yisrael have all got together in Mitzpah. They're all going to attack us. So you know what? We'll preempt the attack. And the Pelishtim got together to start a war against Klal Yisrael. And what happened? The pasuk there continues, Vayareim Hashem b'kol gadol b'yom hahu al Plishtim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu thundered with a tremendous sound on that day against the Plishtim. Vayuhumim, and he confused them with the sound. Vayinogfu lufnei Yisrael, and they were smitten from before Klal Yisrael. Says the Mahari Kra, our pasuk is referring to that incident. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu defeated the Plishtim for us, how? With sounds, basically, with sounds. Vayinogfu lifnei Yisrael, they were smitten. How? Because Vayarim Hashem b'kol gadol b'yamahu al Plishtim. So our pasuk of Vayarim b'shamayim Hashem v'elyon yisinkolo borod v'gachaliyesh is a reference to that incident of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu defeated the Plishtim in the times of Shmuel HaNavi. That's how the Mahari Kra explains the pasuk in... Defeated them with sound. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, that pasuk seems to imply that he could defeat the Plishtim with sounds, or even if he didn't kill the Plishtim with the sounds, they panicked. That's right. They had a panic attack and they fled. Yeah. And with that, then they left Klal Yisrael alone for a long, long time. Yeah.
They start fighting, falling on each other's swords.
Yeah, Sancheirib, in the time when Sancheirib came to attack.
Yeah.
First night Pesach. Yeah, same thing.
They become so confused, they don't know what they're doing.
Yes, in the times of Elisha, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Was Sancheirib? I think so, yeah. Oh, now the Yalkut Miamloes, both on Tehillim and also in Shmuel, it says exactly the same shot. Saying that the story of our pasuk is referring to another story, and this is a story from Yeshua. So we've got all these different pshatim as to what we're actually referring to. So there's a pasuk in Yeshua, it's Perek Yud, pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's find this. Yud Aleph. Oh. Mazel Tov, Shkech. Where the pasuk says, Vayehi benusam mipnei Yisrael. So here we're talking about, one moment. Yeah, who's coming? Oh, yes, that's right. Malchi Amuri. And Malchi Amuri came to attack Klal Yisrael. Yoshua Pek Yud Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayhi Benusam Mipnei Yisrael. When they were running away. One minute. No, let's just go back to Oh, no, I got the wrong one. Pasuk Yud here. Chapter Yud. In Yeshua, chapter Yud, let's start with Pasuk Yud. Vayehumim Hashem lifnei Yisrael. Hashem confused them before the Israel. Vayakim makal gedola begivon. Vayudafim derech male veischoron. Vayakim ad azeka ve'ad makeda. What happened? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu confused the enemies, the Malchei Emori. Vayehin it was v'nusam ipnei Yisrael. When these kings of Emori fled from before Klal Yisrael, heim b'murat veischoron. Hashem, they were in a particular area. And here's the key phrase: Vashem hishlich aleihem avonim gedolus min hashamayim. Hashem cast down upon these kings of Emiri huge rocks from heaven, ad Azeka, up to this place called Azeka. Vayomusin, they died. In fact, the Pasuk then says the more people died from those rocks than from the numbers whom Klal Yisrael attacked and killed by sword. Rabbi Mashem Mesu be Avnei Habarot me Asher Hogu b'nei Sabechorev. More died by these Avnei Habarot. Says the Yalkam Yam Noes, what are we referring to in our Pasuk in Borod v'gachaliyesh? Is a reference to this Mesa at the time of Yeshua, where the Malchei Emori came to attack, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed off the Malchei Emori. How? With these Avonim Gedolos, Min Hashemayim, great big rocks from heaven. And that's what we're referring to in our Pasuk Borod v'gachaliyesh. Good. Now I will finish with one very sweet pshat, which I saw here. Yeah, I found in a sefer that I bought this summer in Eretz Yisrael. I bought it from a second-hand svarim shop, and it's a sefer on the first few chapters of Tehillim, and it's a sefer with a pirush on Tehillim called LeDavid Baruch, and it's written by Reb Baruch Tzvi HaKohen Moskovich. And it was printed recently. It printed in 1983, and he seems to be a Rav who came from Pest and moved to Brooklyn in America. And he brings a very. It might seem a bit contrived, but it's a very.
It's Hungary.
Yeah, that's Hungary. I think it's from Hungary. Yeah. As in Budapest. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, two towns, Buda and Pest, something like that. Yeah. Oh, so he brings up Pshat, and he says as follows. He notes that in our Pasuk, the word kolo is spelled kuf lamed vav. So it's missing the first vav. Yeah. Normally, kol, a voice or a sound, will be spelled kuf vav lamed.
As in Shmuel Beis, it's with the vav.
In our Pasuk, it's without the vav. So he brings from the Masorah that there are only six Pasukim in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, not counting the Torah, but counting Nevi'im and Ksuvim, there are only six Pesukim where an expression of kol, a sound, is spelt without that vav. Okay? And he brings all six, and he links them all together with a very beautiful idea. Okay? Now, let's go through what the six Pesukim are. So the six Pesukim are, this one's in Eov, and it's in Eov chapter Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Beis. One second, here we are. Yeah. Eov chapter Lamed Zayin Pasuk Beis. Shim'u Shamoa Beroges Kolo. Listen, you should surely listen to his voice in anger. Now that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, I think it means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with Klal Yisrael, listen carefully to what he's got to say. Because, you know, sort of sit up and watch out.
We're saying the Tachnum, Baroges, Rachim Tizko.
Baroges, Rachim Tizko. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Baroges, when you are in anger, when you're angry, please remember your Rachim. Yeah, that's it. So, Shimu Shama Baroges Kolo. And that word Kolo is spelled Kuf Lamed Vav. Not Kuf Vav Lamed Vav. The next Pasuk.
Where is this? This is it. Where are you quoting from? Sorry.
That is Eov chapter Lamed Zayin Pasuk Beis. Yeah.
Okay. Similar to Tehillim.
Similar
to Tehillim, no vav.
Yeah, no vav. All these psukim are an expression of kol without a vav. Yeah. Okay, they're all kol without a vav, and they're all in either Nevi'im or Ksuvim, not Torah. Hakol Kol Yaakov, by the way, is Hekuf Lamed. But we're not including psukim in Torah, we're including psukim in Nevi'im and Ksuvim.
Okay.
Next one is the pasuk in Tehillim, which is more bit familiar to us from Kabbalah Shabbos, is Tehillim chapter Tzadi Hei Pasuk Zayin, where the pasuk says, "Ki hu Elokeinu, He is our God, v'anachnu am mariso v'tzon yado, we are His flock, hayom im bekolos tishma'u, today if you will listen to His voice." And that we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will consider us to be His flock, yes, as long as, and He'll do so today, yes, if we're prepared to listen to Him. Okay, now that word bekolo is Beis Kuf Lamed Vav. No Vav. Okay? At Pasuk number 2. Pasuk number 3 is in Daniel, chapter Tes, Pasuk Yudalud, where the Pasuk, where Daniel is saying a very long tefillah. Vayishkod Hashem al Hara'o, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought evil upon us very quickly. Vayivieho Aleinu, He brought this evil upon us. Kitzadik Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is righteous over all His creations, Asher Osa, whom He made. Velo Shamanu, but we didn't listen, Berkolo, to His voice. And that word Berkolo, Beis Kuf Lamed Vav. So the Vav between the Kuf and the Lamed again is missing. Okay? Next pasuk is pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, and it's chapter Kaf Dalad, pasuk Yud Zayin, where Kaf Dalad Yud Zayin in Shmuel Aleph, where after the incident where David found Shaul and cut off the corner of his cloak, and then he used that corner of the cloak to say to Shaul, "Look, I don't mean any harm. I could have killed you. I didn't want to kill you. Chas v'shalom, I wouldn't want to kill you. You're such a tzaddik." And David and Shaul made peace on this, on the basis. So the pasuk there says it's Shmuel Aleph Kaftalud Yudzain, Vahi Kechalus David Ledabes Hazvamai Leil Shaul. And it was when David finished saying all these things to Shaul, Vayomer Shaul, Shaul says, Hakol Chazer B'ni David, is this the voice of my son David? Is that you, David? Vayisa Shaul Kolo, and Shaul raised his voice, Vayevkin, he cried. Now, oh, I don't know. I don't know how long it lasted. Yeah, certainly for a while. Yeah, but
has this all the book without a
book? Both cases. And now you've got that word kol in that pasuk, it comes twice. And both times it's spelled choser vav, without the vav. By Yemes Shaul, Shaul said, Ha kolcha, Zebedee God, is that your voice? Ha kolcha, he kuf lamed chof, no vav. Avayisa Shaul kolo, and Shaul raised his voice, Vayevkin, he cried. Kolo, his voice, kuf lamed vav. So there you have the six pesukim, all in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, all where kol voice is spelled chaser vav without a vav. So in this sefer, Le David Baruch, he joins them all together. And the other one is, of course, our own pasuk. Yeah, our own pasuk, the Elyon Yitin Kolo. Hashem sends His voice forth from on high. Kolo kuf lamed vav. How does it work? So, how does it all connect together? So he says as follows. He connects them all together in a very beautiful, a very long and beautiful essay. Mm-hmm. And he writes as follows in the Sefer LeDavid Baruch. He says, "Klal Yisrael turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after these thousands of years of Golus." Mm-hmm. And we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Ribbono Shel Olam, how long is the Golus going to go on for? Why is it going on so long?" And that's the pasuk, Shimu Shamar Baroges Kolo. We should have listened to His voice when He's angry with us. When He's angry with us, yeah, when we're now in Golus, we should listen to His voice. To which HaKadosh, and that's the pasuk in Eov, chapter Lamazayim, pasuk Beis. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds with the pasuk in Tehillim, Tzadihei, pasuk Zayin, Hayom. You want to know when the Golus will finish? The Golus will finish today. Im Bekolo Sishmo, if only you listen to His voice. Okay, the Golus will finish instantly, but you've got to listen, provided you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice. And then, if you do, then you know what will happen? Pasuk in our Pasuk, Tehillim Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Dalet, the Elyon Yiten Kolo, Hashem will send forth His voice, His sound, and that's the sound of Geula. Yeah, if you're prepared to listen to His voice, then Hashem will send the thunderous sound of Geula and will rescue us. Whereupon Klal Yisrael accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision that we're still in Golus for a good reason, and the good reason is we're not prepared to listen to His Torah, and they respond with the pasuk in Daniel, chapter 10, pasuk Yudalad, "Velo shamanu bekolo," we didn't listen to His voice. And that's why we're still in Golas. And then Klal Yisrael turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tears, and they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're still crying over the Golas, because Lamaisa was still in Golas. And that's Vayisach Sho'ul Kolo Vayef. That's the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kavdal, the Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayisach Sho'ul Kolo Vayef. Sho'ul cries because we're still in Golas. That's Klal Yisrael crying. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu replies to us with the other words in that same Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kavdal, the Pasuk Yud Zayin. Hakol Chazeh B'ni Dovid. Is that the sound of my son, David? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, you're crying because you're in Golus. Why are you crying? Are you crying because of your own personal tzoros in Golus? Or are you crying because you genuinely want the Geula of Mashiach ben David? If you genuinely want the Geula, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaKol Chazeh B'ni David. Is that the sound of you, my son, David? Are you crying because you want Moshiach ben David? Is that why you're crying? If that's why you're crying, then that's a genuine cry. But if you're only crying because you're uncomfortable and you're suffering in Golus, that's not so good. I'd rather you would cry because you genuinely want the arrival of Moshiach, Moshiach ben David. Hakol Chazeh b'ni David. So with that, he's beautifully linked together all these six pesukim, all in the Vim and Ksuvim, all with Lashonis of Kol, and every one of them is spelled Chosev Vav without the Vav.
Was that you're crying?
You're crying over the Golas.
Why are you crying over the Golas? Cry because you want Ben David.
Because you want Ben David. You should cry.
Six times using the word Kol.
Kol, all Chosev Vav.
All Chosev Vav.
Yeah.
The connection is, yeah, it should be a purpose you're crying.
Yeah, so you should be crying because you genuinely want Mashiach, not because you just want to come out of the discomfort of Golas.
How does the Vav affect the word?
I don't know, but it makes the word a little bit unusual, because it would normally be spelled with a Vav. The fact that it's been spelled without a Vav connects all these six together, because all these six don't have the Vav. What's the significance of the missing Vav? I don't know.
The Vav equals six also. So six.
Oh. Oh, gosh, how interesting.
Yeah, just all the
Oh, wow, Shkayach. You're right. There are six Pesukim like that, and the Vav is the number six.
Maybe it's interconnected.
Very nice. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very nice. Shkech. Shkech.
Hey. Okay. But it doesn't affect the pronunciation of the word, either.
No, because there's the cholom dot. The dot by itself, without the Vav, is pronounced the same way. But they're all remarkable, because they're all missing the Vav. Yeah.
And they're all... in the Kuf, you mean?
The dot above the Kuf. Above the Kuf. Kol. The O. The O. Kol. Yeah. So with the Vav or without the Vav, it's pronounced the same way.
Kol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.